Hey friend, do you want to offer meaningful learning solutions that create behavior change, fit in the flow of work, and yield real results for your nonprofit? If yes, this is the podcast for you. Join me as I explore instructional design and leadership development best practices, as well as change management, belonging, and influence. If we haven't met yet, I'm Heather, and I've been in your shoes. I'm a learning and development consultant and founder of Skill Masters Market. Before starting my business, I led learning and leadership development initiatives for a large national nonprofit. I know what it's like to need to develop your staff quickly and effectively and to build the relationships and cut through the organizational layers to be successful. And I'm bringing all of that to you in this podcast. So block your calendar, turn off your Teams or Slack chat, and let's dive in. It's learning for good. Hello, friends, and welcome to this week's episode of Learning for Good. I am so excited to have a guest on this week's episode. I know that you know this, but one important element to successful staff development initiatives is your organizational culture. And that's why today I have a special guest, Veronica LaFamina, who is here to share 4 easy habits to improve employee performance and organizational culture. I can't wait. Let's dive right in. It's Learning for Good. So Veronica LaFamina is founder and CEO of LaFamina & Company, an advisory firm supporting nonprofits and social impact businesses at the intersection of strategy, culture, communications, and change management. Veronica partners with organizations and their leaders to go beyond what looks good on paper to focus on what works well in real life. She is a leader, a strategist, facilitator, trusted advisor, and certified change management professional with nearly 2 decades of experience as a senior executive at national U.S. nonprofit organizations and a high-impact consultant. Her work has been featured by Inc. Magazine, The Today Show, NPR, CNN, Capterra, and in news outlets nationwide. Veronica blogs regularly about nonprofit leadership, strategy, and culture at LaFamina.co. Welcome, Veronica. Thanks for joining me today.
Thanks so much, Heather. I'm really glad to be here.
Now, before we dive in, I always like to get to know my guests a little bit and allow my audience to get to know a little bit about you as well. So tell me a little bit about your career journey and how you ended up where you are today.
Sure. Right now, my work is as a strategic advisor to nonprofit executives, especially like visionary nonprofit leaders who can see so clearly what that big picture is that they're striving for, but then are looking for better ways of thinking, planning, and working to get there. My career started in strategic communication. So I actually had this amazing experience as a consultant to federal government agencies, national nonprofit orgs, Fortune 500 companies, and leading associations to understand how leaders in those different industries think about not only their strategy, but how they're going to help their teams effectively execute it. And so I spent the first 10 years of my career really in those rooms with executives and all kinds of industries thinking through those challenges of how are we going to not only communicate this externally with our customers or with our stakeholders, but how do we communicate it internally to our staff? How do we ensure that if we're going through a merger acquisition process or there's a crisis that comes up, how are we dealing with that effectively? How are we ensuring that we're not just telling our staff what's going on, but that we're creating the skill sets and tools within our teams to really be able to communicate well throughout the organization. From that agency world, I moved into leading communications teams for national nonprofits. I have service in my DNA. Some of my earliest memories are of serving at different community events, usually at organizations that my grandfather was really involved with. And so I was so excited to actually move into the nonprofit sector and be able to bring everything I had learned into that work. So after about 5 or 6 years doing that kind of work at 2 different organizations, really helping create culture in places where there had either been a merger or where there was a time of great turnover and transformation, I moved into more of an overarching strategy role at a national nonprofit here in the US. And that gave me a great opportunity to ensure we were infusing in our strategy really effective communications, really valuing our staff throughout the organization, because strategy is only effective when the people who need to execute it know what they need to do and why. And so I've always really appreciated that opportunity to bring in an understanding of how we communicate well, how we engage staff well in doing the really important work that so many of us do in the sector, making the world a better place so that we can really, I always like to say, like, that we can do good better for the people we serve and the people who power our organizations.
Yeah, that's great. And I hear so much overlap and it just makes me so excited as you talk, because we are in two different spaces as far as, like, I really do focus in on the skills. You mentioned making sure that you're thinking about the skills that people are going to need to make the change happen. And, like, that really is where I sit. But there is often this kind of unclear boundary, I would say, between communications and training. And so making sure that those two pieces are working together. Because if you think about any kind of strategy or change that's happening, there are things that people need to know. They need to know why they're doing something. They need to know what they're doing. They need to understand how it all rolls up into that larger strategy. And then there are things that people need to know how to do. And so those things working together is really how you create something effective when you think about strategy or any kind of change management initiative. So thank you for sharing. It's so fun to see how people's careers change and flow and how people end up where they are. So we're here today to talk about employee performance and culture. And so I would love to hear from you. Why do you think it's important to pay attention? Why should we pay attention to organizational culture?
Culture is one of those really tough words out there in our world right now, right? Like, it's got about a billion definitions, depending on who you talk to. And if you just do, let's say, a Google search on what parts of culture are really important or what matters, you will get so many answers back. I think we all know that culture matters, but then translating it into why and what kind of impact that can have in our organizations can feel overwhelming. For me, as someone who has sat in strategy seats and leading this comms function within an organization, culture matters to me, A, because I want to work at an organization that I believe in. You know, in the nonprofit sector, one of the biggest differentiators we have, the biggest opportunity to attract new talent and to keep employees on, is by having cultures where people feel valued. We can't always compete on salary. We can't always compete on benefits with folks in the for-profit sector. But culture, to me, represents one of the biggest differentiators that our sector's organizations can use to attract top-level talent as they are coming out of school or from the for-profit sector. So I think thing one is it might be one of the most important strategic objectives for organizations in our sector. Thing two is that there are probably many organizations who do what you do. So if you are an organization that is helping people who are experiencing food insecurity or housing insecurity or other situations like that, you have lots of peers all over the country, all over your community. So how you do it matters. Not just your processes and ways for doing it, but how it feels and the integrity or values you bring to that process also matters. And so those are, to me, two of the big reasons that we don't always talk about as much with culture, which is to say it is a way forward for our industry, right? To really think about how we do what we do and ensuring that we are continuing to make it better because we're here and not just creating new problems because of challenging or toxic cultures.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, as you were sharing, right, people tend to think, oh, we're uniting around our mission, around this purpose. And so people will feel fulfilled and connected to that. But you could have a really great mission in a toxic environment. And so distinguishing, yeah. Like, yes, that is great that people have something that they can unite around, that they feel connected to, but also creating that culture where people want to be there and they feel like they're appreciated, like they're valued, like they're seen. That's really, really important. So thank you for sharing that as well. What do you consider to be kind of the main elements of organizational culture? You mentioned that it can be defined in a few different ways depending on who you're talking to, and it's kind of a buzzword in some ways. But when you think about organizational culture, what do you find to be those main elements?
So I think in buckets, this is like something anyone who's ever worked with me will laugh about if they hear this conversation. we're not great at holding a lot of factors and definitions and perspectives all in our head at once, right? For most of us, and especially in this attention economy, trying to get down to what are these kind of core components can help us, and then taking practical steps for improving or adjusting our culture and how we want to see it move forward. So for me, those big buckets, right? The first one is identity. So who are we and what do we believe? A lot of times we say, well, we have a vision, a mission, and values, and we brush our hands, but we haven't really spent the time to say, but is that who we really are? Is this something that was defined by a board of directors 50 years ago and that no longer applies today? Is it still true to the modern version of this organization? And I think more organizations need to be spending time on that identity work than do on a regular basis, because it is one of the places where there's a biggest gap in understanding between what leadership believes and what the rest of the organization or supporters may believe. The next one is clarity. So what do we focus on and why? Oftentimes our mission statements are very broad. You could execute that work in any combination of ways. And often if an organization has evolved over the past several decades, you may have staff who still have clarity around whatever our strategy was 15 years ago and aren't necessarily connected to what the leadership wants the strategy to be now. So getting really clear on what we focus on and why. Then what's our way? How do we do this? So some of that is our process, the ways that we work with our constituents, our stakeholders, the kind of experience we want to provide for people who we are serving in the community, how we use technology, right? And how we use our business model or operating systems to do the work that we do. And then finally, there's one that I call the vibe. What's the vibe here? So how does it feel to work here for everyone? Or how does it feel to be like a client or stakeholder or beneficiary of ours, right? So a lot of times vibe is an area that I think organizations shy away from because they either don't want to know what their staff have to think, or they may think that everybody feels the same. And when we are promoting diverse environments where we embrace people's differing perspectives, differing lived experiences, differing desires for what culture looks like at work, we have to be okay asking for that kind of data or information so that we can get a clear perspective. Because what happens often, again, is this differentiation. Like, leadership has a perspective on what the vibe is, but the rest of staff or different layers of staff or different departments have an entirely different perspective. And so the combination of those factors is really important. The one other lens that I would put on those buckets is the difference between what is spoken and unspoken in the culture, right? So when we say, here are our values, and they include things like integrity and teamwork and flexibility or other things where we're trying to maybe modernize our approach to work. But then the unspoken culture is, if you don't stay until after the boss stays, you'll never get a promotion. Or being committed looks like answering your email till 11 p.m. at night. That is where we start to see really big gaps in what our intended culture is, or what we've said out loud and what we're reinforcing in that unspoken element. And all of that has a huge effect on employee performance.
Do you wish you could connect with other nonprofit learning and development leaders? I know what it feels like to want someone to bounce ideas off of and to learn from. Someone who really understands you and your work. Imagine if you could have a simple way to meet people in the field, ask questions, and share information. That's why I created the Nonprofit Learning and Development Collective, where nonprofit, L&D, talent management, and DEI leaders can connect with each other quickly and easily in a virtual space. When you join this community, you will walk away with a new, diverse, and powerful network and a sounding board for your staff development needs. So if you're ready to exchange ideas and collaborate with your peers, come join the Nonprofit L&D Collective. Yeah, definitely. I could see how that discrepancy would make such a big difference. And yeah, to your point, we're trying to create right cultures where people feel like they belong, they feel seen, they feel valued, they feel heard. And so to do that, if you have a discrepancy there, that's really going to cause a challenge to create the culture that you're really looking to create. So which of the elements do you feel impact staff performance the most?
Even is so tricky because they all reinforce each other so much. But what I would say is when there is a gap in understanding, right, or a gap between that spoken and unspoken in any of these categories, it has the potential to greatly affect performance. And so let's use identity as an example. Identity and clarity. Performance is really just how well, how effectively, or how someone accomplished a task that they were assigned or part of their job. But if we aren't that clear on who we are as an organization or what we do or how we do it, it becomes very difficult to create clarity around what good performance looks like or what effective performance looks like. Performance measurement turns into just like a fact-checking task or a who's the boss's favorite task instead of really reflecting what we want the culture of the organization to be. So when there is that gap, it really creates a challenge. And I would say the other thing is our way, how we do this, that's an area where accountability comes up a lot. And in my work with senior executives, accountability is one of the hardest things to get right. Often we get excited about wanting to put some kind of new performance management system in place, whether that's at the individual level, at the team level, at the organization level. And we either lose our steam and stamina, or we get into the details. Like, we loved the idea, but then we get into the practical reality and it feels so difficult to do that measurement in a way that is equitable, in a way that actually reflects whether or not something is good, in a way that rewards the kinds of behaviors we want to reward, right? Like, we've all worked in organizations where a key challenge of the culture might be that the folks who get rewarded are performing, I'm using air quotes here, right? Performing well, they're getting the results, but they're mowing everybody down on the way, right? So the way they're doing it, the vibe of working there is not at that level of like positive culture or even just inclusive culture, right, that we're looking for. And so that area of really examining what our accountability systems will be and sticking with it and being willing to make an adjustment if what we realize is we're incentivizing bad behavior in service to being able to write a number up on a scoreboard. That's just an area too where it can be really tricky and it can disincentivize other staff from wanting to perform well because they are seeing that unspoken rules or bad behavior are being rewarded over doing the work well.
That's such a good point because sometimes we think about accountability as the way forward, right? We think about it as this is how people are doing what you need them to do. You can evaluate somewhat objectively, depending on the system, how they're doing towards that metric. But there is this other piece, this other layer that is a little bit harder to evaluate. And if you're incentivizing solely based on that one metric, then you could be reinforcing something that you actually don't want. That's a really good point, especially when you're thinking about employee performance mm-hmm. and creating that organizational culture that is inclusive. So tell me, obviously challenging, obviously complex. What are four habits that organizations could implement if they're really looking to improve their culture in support of staff performance?
So this is going to sound, you'll hear the through lines here, right? Like when we talk about these different elements, but thing number one is spend the time to get clear. So no matter what level of the organization you're at, you can implement this. If you're a CEO and an executive team, that means how are you dedicating time on a weekly, monthly basis to ensuring that whatever vision you all have is in alignment with one another and that you can all easily spread that message or share it out regularly. If you at the executive team level are in a different like understanding of what go forward looks like, it's very unlikely the rest of the organization is going to be in line. So that's at an executive team level. If you're on a lower leadership team or just a team leader, continuing to be clear with your team on what is our purpose here? What are we here to accomplish? What does that mean as far as what I expect from you, right? Being really clear with what the expectations are and focusing on ensuring not just that it's communicated, but that it's understood, right? So sometimes we feel like, well, I said it once or it was in that email. And that's just usually not enough to ensure that people truly have an understanding and that we as leaders are being clear. The next one, which is tied to that, and again, I think orgs can start this with whatever kinds of resources they have right now, but investing in internal communications is huge. Just recently, I've had conversations with several senior leaders, and they said, if I could do it over again, this is something that I would work on. So if you are an organization that already has an internal communications capacity or has been thinking about starting one, would really recommend doing that. It's not just about adding staff, though that is important, because it needs to be somebody's job to care about the fact that everyone on the team knows what's up, but also creating the rhythms and behaviors around what internal comms looks like. It's not just shouting out announcements from the organization. It's about creating real feedback opportunities. It's about ensuring that different parts of the organization are hearing from each other. And it's also about creating a culture where communicating well is just as important as ticking the box, making the widget, whatever the thing is. Tied to that, so number three, tied to that is training your managers. And so I know this is one, Heather, that is like close to your heart too. So often where we lose scale and where culture dies is in that place where we forget to help our managers be the leaders we need them to be. So that can look like working with your training team to ensure that managers are getting trained on how to communicate about different kinds of announcements, on how to ask their team good questions about different elements of culture or cultural initiatives that are going on at the organization and to get them engaged and involved. We don't spend enough time ensuring that managers can really step up and be those leaders, and we don't give them the right tools often. And that then becomes a reinforcement for the fact we actually aren't invested in the culture because we haven't spent the time with all of these supervisors to help them really scale the messages, be ambassadors of culture to the rest of the organization. And then the fourth one I would say is starts as an everyday habit and then can become and should become an organizational habit over time, but it's personal accountability. So as leaders, we may sometimes say, oh yeah, we'll get to that, right? And then a staff person reminds us 4 months later that we never got back to them on that question, or that we have been skipping some project that we said was important, but we're pushing the deadline, whatever the case may be. We have to get better at what's called our say-do ratios. So by practicing personal accountability, we make it okay for the team to clearly communicate to us what they can do, what they can get done, when they can get it done by, and then to hold them accountable for that. When we all just say, oh yeah, okay, so next meeting we'll chat about these few things, or when we aren't taking action items, our staff know they're not incentivized to then deliver on what they said they were going to because we haven't shown them that we care enough to do it ourselves. And so I think, again, no matter what part of the organization you are, just the ability to really start observing what we say we're going to do and then when we did it. And if we did it at all. And that kind of behavior can then help us build better accountability systems too when we're talking about performance reporting, so that we're first of all setting realistic performance expectations in the first place, but then secondly, helping our staff effectively deliver on them, because they're not going to do it in a vacuum. I mean, you will always have fantastic staff people, but more often than not, performance is helped by a culture that shows up in the way it says it was going to.
That's a really good point. So let's recap together the four. I think this is really important for people to take away. So the first thing was the clarity, getting clear, making sure the executive team, the CEO, or whoever is very clear on what the change is, what the strategy is, and what that means for the organization. Is there anything you would add to that?
So really ensuring there's alignment, right? So I had a calculus teacher in high school who used to say, silence means understanding when there weren't any questions. And that is not what we want here. We want to be really sure that we've tested it with those members of the executive team and that everybody can answer questions, be, you know, singing from the same songbook so that staff aren't getting confused or they're not creating divisions between different parts of the organization.
Yeah, really good point. Really good point. And then the second was involving internal communications, prioritizing that. So tell me a little bit, quick summary on that one.
Sure. So if you have an internal communications function, invest in it to be sure they're using technology appropriately, that it's not just a one-way street, that there's good give and take or feedback opportunities. If you don't yet have an internal communications function, figure out who can start working on that now and then build toward investing in that function. It is one of the most important ways to improve culture, but also to scale impact of the organization because you're valuing your staff and not waiting until they hear about something that was released in a press release from an external source, usually a donor who's calling with questions about it.
Right. That's also a really good point. And I would add here, because we're moving into the third one, which is my personal favorite around training managers, that anytime your comms team and your learning and development team can work together in a strategy, in a change initiative, you're going to have more success because they're going to hear the right messages and they're going to receive the right support to help them implement. So I don't know if you do a through line there or something, but communications and learning and development can work together. I just feel like the outcomes are going to be so much better. So the third easy habit was easy. I probably need to use air quotes for that one as well. It's to train your managers. And then the fourth was personal accountability. Mm-hmm. And we talked a little bit about accountability before, but any kind of final thoughts on personal accountability?
I just say for leaders especially, staff are very clear when a leader is not living up to what they're expecting everyone else to live up to. So often, as leaders, we feel like we're being pulled in tons of different directions. We are accountable to the board. We're accountable to the rest of the executive team, to donors. There's a lot going on. And so we may tend to overcommit ourselves because we may have come up, you know, at a time in our careers where it was like, you have to be great at all the things or bigger is better, or you need to keep innovating and putting new ideas out there. What we're seeing in patterns with folks who are choosing alternative ways of work now, who are really considering more deeply the culture of organizations as they are bringing, you know, as they're determining whether or not to take a position there, is all staff really have their eyes on executive leadership and the model that is being set there. And that trickles down to other levels of leadership too. So getting really good at saying what you're going to do and then delivering on that is a skill that I think has gone out of fashion a little bit, but is one that when organizations bring that back, when leaders bring that back, it right sizes the level of effort and energy that's getting output in the world, but it also clarifies for staff that this is not just something we say, we walk the walk too. And that is huge for building trust and transparency and staff belief that leaders are genuinely living like the values of the organization instead of just saying it because it sounds nice on paper and a consultant helped them develop it, right? So it's really that personal accountability thing is very important.
Yeah. And it's really brought us full circle, right? Because you want the organizational culture. That could be the thing that makes you stand out when you're recruiting staff, when you're onboarding staff, but also in the effort to retain staff. And so we know that you have a great mission. You have this higher purpose that people are connecting to and feeling great about. but the culture, right, is how people are going to feel while they're doing that work. And so there are great impacts on employee performance, but on hiring, onboarding, and retention as well. So come in full circle there. Veronica, thank you so much for joining me today and sharing all of your expertise and experiences with us and with my listeners here today.
Thanks so much, Heather. It was great to be with you.
Hey, friend, was this episode helpful for you? Did you like what you heard? Do you want more content like this? Here are three things you can do. Hit subscribe, leave a review on Apple Podcasts or your podcast app of choice, share this episode with a colleague. This means so much to me personally. I read every review, but it also helps me learn what content you like most so I can create more of what you want. All right, turn that Teams or Slack chat back on when you're ready, and I'll see you next time on Learning for Good.